Gentlemen,
please don't desert me.
Welcome very much to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Will
on AmericanFreeRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I think Will be joining us second hour. I have a few things to say. There are a lot of very cool people in this world. Oh yes, believe it. I know. I go out and I meet cool people all the time. And what is it that makes you truly cool? It's something to do with, as we talked about last night, vibes. Now, vibes means, anybody can think of a definition here, vibrations. Right? And I remember, I think it was Michael Tesarian or something along those lines, talking about certain vibrations that your body emits. It's frequency, signals. And how love and hate have two very distinct signals that they sent out. Vibrations, if you will. So I postulated that perhaps the reason we're here on this earth is to search out those positive love vibrations, right? Wouldn't that be actually quite a simple way to try and live your life? Trying to live a life that makes you feel like appreciated, loved, etc.? I think there's a lot of people in this world who go absolutely underappreciated. Hey, everyday people, man. Everyday people like you and me. Nobody cares, you know. Seriously. Everybody's too busy, ramped up in their own little lives to worry about everybody else. You know? Life's gotten so hard, everybody has to work so many hours. For such little pay. It's the bankers take all our assets, take all our money, and basically destroy what generations of people have had to build, have had to work by the sweat of their brow, snatched away momentarily. Isn't that the ingeniousness of the scam that we live in called quote-unquote society? It's essentially just a big criminal-run syndicate, okay? And the biggest gangsters are the ones that are wearing $5,000 suits because they've gotten away with stealing that much money from you. Aren't these people very, very scary when you think about it? Like our Prime Minister, John Key, banker for Merrill Lynch and 2 years in charge of derivatives on the board of the Federal Reserve. Those of you who don't know what a derivative is when you call $1 to, and then gamble it on the stock market at 1,000 to 1 until you wind up blowing up this enormous bubble of fake money that's made up out of thin air, $1.4 quadrillion in debt that everybody else has to pay you back. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're going into the collapse with a smile. It's the lighter side of genocide. We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on? I'm flying a JFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom.
Welcome back to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Look, I've got... you know what's interesting? Sometimes you try to think about what you're going to say so much that you wind up not saying anything. Think about that, because how much have you communicated if you haven't said anything? I mean, perhaps there's a this psychic undercurrent or something along those lines. Tricks can be played on people all the time, you know, magicians and such. And I'm really, really scared in some places of the world. If I was there, like in the Middle East at the moment, or in the former USSA. But then again, I've got enough to worry about here in New Zealand. Isn't it great that there's technically nowhere to run because it's all controlled by scumbag bankers? Oh, the tyranny. I love it. I don't know about you, but I love being a slave, you know, doing my little slave dance, 9 to 5, going to work and back, not having any time to spend with my kids, and instead eating crap food that I bought at McDonald's, and eating it in front of the TV when I get home. That's life. Unbelievable how some people live. And you wonder, how much thought are they given to individual responsibility? Has that kind of concept been, I don't know, have we been weaned off it? I presume that America and New Zealand have similar pioneering-esque, colonializing-esque type history, so we can probably understand this, that when you're early settling and stuff like that, you were pretty freaking independent, man. Because, hey, if you weren't independent, you'd die. So it was absolutely essential. Everybody got taught in some way, shape, or form, that I'm guessing here, to be independent. To go out and get your own firewood. To make your own vegetable patch. To build your own home. To channel your own water source. Yeah, people being able to live off the land. Yeah, but apparently now we have to live in these giant monolithic, usually dominated with some description of enormous phallic object cities. And by phallic object, I mean, you know how you got those towers and stuff like that? You know, there's just like, look at my big phallus. It's unbelievable. It's very, very offensive to me. It's like somebody's giving me the finger all day long because I can see it from my balcony here in Auckland, the Sky Tower, which incidentally was built on council land that was confiscated by the government to do council stuff, apparently, and then got bought off them by Sky City later. The sleight of hand. You wonder how anybody rationalizes what the heck is going on in any of the countries, man. I swear to God, it's unbelievable. I couldn't really comprehend, for some period of my life, why it is that people just kind of go along with something that they know to be wrong. Why would they do that? Because a lot of people, they rationalize and they say, oh, well, you know, I'm working for XYZ evil corporation. I work for Monsanto. I work for this, that, or the other. I couldn't really fathom, personally, having the gall to do something like that to my fellow man, is work for an evil corporation like that. But of course, I have worked in evil corporations. In fact, I would even perhaps a yardstick. Almost every company that I've worked for has probably been pretty evil. Isn't that interesting? Of course, I was in telecommunications, so that's natural. You know, and that's how you rationalize it. It's terrible. One thing I learned about working for three different telecommunications companies is that they're all scum. Can't trust them as far as you could throw them. The only thing that's really different is how much they charge you. Really? They all give you crap service, don't follow up anything. They don't really care so much about you. Customer service is shocking. At best. You know, people like sitting there, basically taking calls. People need their help. And they, you know, the look on their face, they don't care, man. And see, I wonder, what kind of a company benefits from having people who work for it but don't actually really care about what they're doing? Probably a company who wouldn't want you to look any deeper into it, perhaps. I once wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company I was working for. And a couple of weeks later, there was a big meeting with all the big wigs and whatnot. I was kind of like, well, what have I stepped into here? And they call the meeting short because he gets a phone call. Sorry, I've got something else scheduled to do. And a couple of weeks later, they pay me $3,000 to leave. You know? Mate, you can't question what the heck is going on inside your organization. That's just not polite. It's not etiquette. I can't believe it, man. And people say that word, say that phrase all the time. I can't believe it. You know, you say 9/11 was an inside job. They say, I can't believe it. No. Sorry. It was the planes that flew into those towers that did it by itself. And nothing you say will change my mind. Because I won't listen to anything you've got to say. That's why I won't change my mind. Now, see, I wondered, where's the point here where you think, maybe I should learn stuff. Maybe I should question things. Maybe it's not a bad idea to apply a little bit of rational thinking to where the heck your life or your country is going. I mean, am I wrong here? Is this just some descent into madness? No, I think you're quite perfectly reasonable. Because, hey, it's your life, man. If you don't know what's going on, hey, who does? It's not like anybody else is going to make all your decisions for you. Nobody else can tell you to breathe in and breathe out. So, where's the independence gone? I was just wondering this. If we're all so freaking dependent, is there a migration or a growth of independent communities? And the answer is yes. I know several people who are bugging out of the cities, going to places where they have their own resources that they can live off very easily. You know, and it's certainly not a tacky like mud hut or something like that. Like we're talking about some. A decent place to live. And there's also a couple of programs, well, really, that have been taking place all over the place. On Waiheke Island, where Will lives, for example, they started planting frickin' walnut trees or Brazil nut trees or something along those lines. Some description of nuts, which should think would fit in very well with the local islander population. The nuts there, And the idea, really, is to turn all these urban jungles, these heat island, fluoride-filtered fruit fests into absolute food forest central. All right, we're talking about having fruit trees along pretty much every street. You know, avocados, tomatoes, or whatever. All food, all the time, everywhere. Real healthy stuff. And just have people, you know, tend their patch at the side of the bar, at the front or something. Or better yet, just have a tree. You don't have to do anything. And people that have access, readily access, to free food so that nobody would go hungry. And what's happening now, or at least what happened a couple of years ago, is this is according to a man named J.R. Moore's talk show host. He said that about a year or two ago, the largest freeze-dried food company in the U.S. had sold out of stock completely. There was like a 6 to 8 week backlog, if you're lucky. Unfreaking believably, it has all been bought out, unsurprisingly really, by governments. Someday, they just waltzed on in and snapped up all this food that can keep for a long, 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 long time. Supposedly, there's these deep underground bases that are being constructed all over the place. My somewhat fabulous producer has, in fact, talked to a contractor who builds these bases. And, they are being built all over the place. They are being stocked with food and rations and something like that. All the governments of the world are really freaked out about something. I wonder what that is. You know, a lot of people talk about the end of the world as if it's the end of the world. Well, it's not going to be the end of the world, it's just going to be the end of you. Well, you in this form, if you believe in the astral traveling type gobbledygook. And I say that in a nice and caring way. I was wondering, like, where's the end of the world going to actually force the human spirit to wake up itself, right? Could that happen? I mean, I would assume that possibly throughout history we've had very tragic and very trying times, like during the great wars that we've had, you know, like World War II. Did people band together and become, I don't know, closer to one another because there was this big, widely perceived direct external threat? As the big new Brzezinski said, oh no, oh no. I don't think that everybody just suddenly forgot all their problems with each other and just came together to support the troops, or did they? No, I don't think there were much detractors back then. A friend of mine, his grandfather was tarred and feathered for protesting the First World War. A lot of people out there who get really violent if you're anti-violence. Oh, I love it. You know, it's so hilarious, isn't it? You know, so you gotta laugh. Otherwise, you will cry. Oh, seriously, the truth of what is happening in our society is a very, very well-kept secret, or rather has been, for quite some time. Anybody who learned it was seen as crazy, and nobody ever listened. So it's a perfect, perfect secret. It's a secret that is so insane that you'd have to be crazy to believe it, wouldn't you? What, you mean the world's run by banks that make money up out of thin air and in exchange for real assets and then consolidate all the wealth and the land out of every country in the world? or stuff that they make up on a computer. That's just too crazy to believe, man. So, why is that too crazy to believe, man? Bankers are scum. And they're like, yeah, the scum, all right, yeah. But they wouldn't do that, would they? And it's just like, well, yes, they would. And yes, they have. And yes, they are. It is in progress. New Zealand owes 85% of its debt to foreigners. Ostensibly, does that mean that 85% of New Zealand's wealth is owned to foreigners? Or 85% of New Zealand is owed to foreigners? Or is that just, that's just debt? That's one small part of the economy, isn't it? But it's a much, much, much growing part, isn't it? Government last year, they said, oh, we've got to make sure that they keep those taxes down. We're going to make sure that everything happens just all nice and friggin' dandily. And they hike up the taxes. And they take away the benefits. And they lie about it all. And then they try to sell your assets. Isn't that interesting? Whatever the politician who wins an election says, during his reign in office, he will do almost precisely the opposite to what he has said previously. Is that what politics is? Doing the exact opposite of what you're saying? Like, hello, I'm Vinnie Eastwood, and I'm the evil emperor of all that is evil, etc., etc. Okay, cool. And in reality, I'm a good dude. What is to be gained by having a visage that is so weak? You know, have you ever noticed, and I was talking with an old fella about this, you know, been in politics a long time, and he said to me something that his father said to him, you know, you need to look at people's eyes, because these people, they don't have any life in their eyes. You see nothingness. It's just dead. Supposedly the eyes are the windows to the soul. And if those eyes look dead, what does that mean? I think it is quite self-evident, you know. Soulless. Really, these people don't care about any description of the human spirit. That spirit of innovation, of independence. It's a frickin' shame. In a so-called competitive environment, the only competition is a rigged game that you can never, ever win. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break. American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Anybody ever heard of Luke Rutkowski? If you haven't heard of Luke Rutkowski, he's a very, very cool dude, all right? He's one of my inspirations to get out with a camera and start, you know, going to protest and confronting scum and such like that. Luke confronts copious quantities of scum all the time. All the time. No, seriously. It's his business to know where these scum are and to track them down and to ask them a tough question and to get some kind of reaction out of them. I don't know. Well, I don't think that's actually the idea behind it. The idea is really to try and get some frickin' answers, or at the very least just confront them with a really difficult and damning question. So I'd like to actually play for y'all, I believe is the terminology, a clip. Now, what's his name? James Woolsey of the CIA denies Operation Mockingbird ever existed. Operation Mockingbird is when the CIA decided it's a very good idea, wise idea. I happen to agree with them, if you happen to be an evil sociopath, to plant people high up in the media and to pay them vast amounts of money to read their propaganda that they want to pump out. That's Operation Mockingbird. Right? Admitted, declassified, admitted fact. And yet, when Luke Rutkowski goes up and asks this dude about it, he denies it ever happened. So just give me a second here, and we will watch this little video.
Okay, my name is Luke Rutkowski from Brooklyn College. It's an honor meeting you. But I have a very important question. I really hope you can answer this. I mean, former CIA Director William Cozy in 1976 said the CIA controls and owns everybody in major significance in the mainstream media. How do you think that relates in 2011?
Bill Cozy said that?
Yeah. He's on record stating that as a fact. Saying
well,
the Central Intelligence Agency.
Shortly after that, it's hard to talk to him about it. But
of course. I
had never heard that Bill said something like that. He's a very sensible guy. It's certainly not true. There's got to be some kind of misunderstanding.
Do you have a comment on Operation Mockingbird, possibly?
What?
Operation Mockingbird?
What's Mockingbird?
It's a CIA operation that infiltrates mainstream media and tries to control the... It's declassified.
As you describe it, I don't
Freedom
see
of Information
it. As you describe it, I don't think it
Whenever
exists.
You get a chance, just look up Operation Mockingbird. It's declassified government documents.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
this, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
It was charted as an anti-communist program to combat the communist propaganda.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, there were various covert operations to undermine communist programs, but I don't know anything about it. The CIA has been very hands-off with respect to media for decades.
At CBS, we had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole news and public affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
So I don't know what this is about, or whether it's talking about something in the 1940s or whatever. But it's certainly not anything that has been the policy of the CIA for a long, long time. I don't know what was going on in the 1940s or early 50s.
Have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the national news services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Yeah, I love Luke, man. He's just awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. The media is totally controlled by intelligence agencies. Okay, this might sound like a far-fetched statement. And it is. You know, it's not directly. Of course not. You don't get just to be a reporter and then all of a sudden, you know, the CIA approaches you. No. A lot of it's just done by compartmentalization. Everybody just doing, you know, separate individual tasks and nobody sees how the whole picture fits together. Kind of like, you know, what's it called? What was that project? The Manhattan Project. It's 100,000 scientists or something working to develop a nuke. And virtually none of them knew what they were working on. Or making all these little tiny parts themselves on a need-to-know basis, of course. Is that how we want our society to be run? Behind closed doors? Without any consent really being sought? Is that how we really want to live our lives, to have everything that we don't want rammed down our throats anyway? Come on. Are we really that foolish? I don't think so. But I could be wrong. Because, yeah, well, we do see copious quantities of foolishness all over the place. Oh, yes. So many freaking stupid idiots out there. Nobody pays attention to just the rising level of stupidity. You know, that's what I want. That's what I want to see, you know, in the next Colmar Brunton poll or some description of tele survey. Just how stupid are people getting? I'd wager that we're just getting dumber and dumber and dumber. I think it's pretty self-evident. Yeah. I know how now I know why the older generation gets so ticked off with all this. It's because they expect more from you. And a guy put it down last night to breakdown of morals and ethics. Where those morals and ethics come from? Come from generations of people reading the Bible to their children. Strong family units. That, as a even concept, having a strong family unit, is like under attack at best. Seriously, man. Got 50% divorce rates. Or I heard somebody even say that they might have been even 60%. When the heck did that happen? All of a sudden, not working stuff out and separating becomes business. You create a problem, and then you can profit while people suffer from it. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Speaking of which, of allegedly created problems by scalar weaponry, Christchurch quake. I've been talking with quite a few people about this. Scalar and HAARP technology experts, researchers, etc., etc. And they're all utterly convinced there was a HAARP hit or a scalar hit or something along those lines. That it was not a natural earthquake. Well, even if it is man-made, the government is still going to sell off our assets to pay for the damage. That's right. You heard it here first, folks. National is now saying that, oh, we're going to try to sell the assets. Oh, well, 60% of you don't want us to do that. Oh, Christchurch quake. Hey, everybody, now we have to sell the assets to pay for all the rebuilding and such. You're just using the friggin' tragedy as an excuse to pull through your own World Bank agenda anyway, scumbag. Let's sell this frickin' country out from under our bloody feet. Really frustrating around election year. This is election year here in New Zealand. Election year always gets me really fired up, man. Like, I get really very, very angry. With good reason, obviously. Because there's nothing to be happy about when you watch politicians campaign. They're all boring as F. Got no original thoughts in their head. Conceited. And well-funded. That's about all they got going for them. Other than that, they're just basically morons. Seriously. These people are freaking morons. They can't think. They can't think of outside their own little sphere of influence. Whatever it might be, I don't even get left, right. It doesn't matter. All a freaking illusion designed to think that there's actually something that you can do to change what's going on through Parliament. It doesn't happen. Every single successive government we get keeps selling us out progressively. Every single time. That's been happening for quite some time. Thank you very much. You know, people haven't freaking clicked. Or at least the vast majority haven't clicked. That, hey, if you vote for one of the two major parties, it is a wasted vote because you are taking part and consenting to selling your country out, man. What's wrong with you? You got some kind of death wish? Yeah, that's what we're going to lead to eventually. We have this kind of centrist government where the left side is so close to the right side in ideology and scope. But you have no idea what they're going to be on about next. And they'll always support each other in some way, shape, or form. They'll bleed and they'll go, oh, no, I don't like this particular policy. I want to get rid of it. Well, actually, I'll just taper off just a tiny few little ends and maybe even insert my bank account number. No. Oh, the corruption. The corruption, man, in Babylon. I'm seriously, I was telling a guy last night, and this is complete news to him, that New Zealand is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. You better believe it, man. I mean, and we're not talking about, like, low level, like, you can just bribe the cops and stuff like that. Our front level staff are actually really, really good people, very, very ethical, highly trained. All right. It's the white collar crooks at the time that are the corrupt ones. All right. And that's why people don't see him a lot of the time. They all hang out with each other. All got wealth and power and all the time in the world to hatch their schemes and try and cut off a bigger slice for themselves. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Somebody asked me last night, how do you get into doing filming and stuff? And I say, well, I'll give you the same piece of advice that I got a couple of years ago. If you want to get into filming, just start filming. You know, start editing your own little videos together, upload them to YouTube, whatever. Just start doing things. It's all very well to try and ask people to help you get into the industry or whatever the heck. It's just not going to happen. Seriously. You kind of have to prove yourself. And I think this is probably the same in a lot of artistic professions. So you have to be kind of consistent with the quality of stuff that you do. And what I find is that the majority of businesses and people out there are pretty substandard, man. Especially big multinational corporations. Yeah, they're just... They're pretty closed off and unfriendly. Never mind the fact that they, you know, kill copious quantities of people and launder drug money with the proceeds, as Coke and Pepsi have been doing for some time. Apparently up to, conservatively, very conservatively, $500 million a year is laundered through the New York Stock Exchange. It's according to Mike Rupert at copvcia.com. And the reason why they're capable of laundering such grand amounts of money through the New York Stock Exchange is that if you are listed on the New York Stock Exchange, you don't have to fill out transaction receipts. And by that I mean, if you go into a bank and you give them 10 grand, you have to fill out a special form to explain where that money come from. But if you went in with $9,999... wouldn't have to fill out anything. But if you've got a company listed on the New York Stock Exchange, you don't have to fill out anything, no matter what the amount. It's perfect. Great way to conceal drug money. Now, there's a couple of reasons why they need the drug money on the market. $500 million of liquidity, liquid cash. Any idea what would happen if you pulled that from the US economy? $500 million in cash. Mate, it'd be chaos. They need that to support the economy. I mean, the East India Tea Company was no different. They used drug profits to support their empire building, as they were basically economically and militarily taking over the world on behalf of Her Majesty. It's no different than today. It's still empire building. People think that you've got a that he who has the most when he dies wins. Unbelievable. Why? I think that he who leaves behind a good life wins. You know, by default. But maybe that's just tripe to try and justify being a nobody. Eh? How much kind of excuses and justifications do we need to give ourselves before we actually get up and start doing something? How long do we have to talk about doing something before we actually do something? Go on. Get up off your chair. Put down your headphones. Turn off the TV. Get something done. Time is short. You only got one life. Right here, right now, only one moment. It's a continuous moment, conveniently. So you get to change that moment anytime you want. And the moment that you decide that you're not going to be a slave, you will not just lie back and take it, is the moment that you have seized for all humanity. Because if you are the embodiment of the human spirit, you know, innovative, creative, strong, diligent, etc., ethical, loving, caring, all those wonderful things. If you become that, it will start to have a ripple effect for all the people around you. Everybody will see you as you are. And they wonder, how come I'm not like that? See, it's a strange thing. Some of them will deny that being a good person and giving a crap about what goes on in this world has any value. I deny it, flatly. The only thing that's valuable to me is where's my next dozen beers coming from? Oh, prioritization, people. There's more important things to do than sit around and doing nothing. Seriously. You've been doing nothing your whole life. What? How about a change of scene? And that's kind of one of the things that keeps me going, is that every day I'm actually talking about it, but I am also doing something about it. Hey! Good on me. And that's how everybody should feel, man. They should all feel proud of themselves for standing up and protecting their communities. Hey, no, if you don't do it, nobody else is going to, man. Seriously, if you listen to this radio show, you're probably a leader in your community. Some way, shape, or form. Or at least you freaking should be. Put your hands up. Shout out. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio on the fabulous Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, iFinity FM in Invercargill, and a whole bunch of other fabulous affiliates all over the world and mainly in the United States, where we love you very, very much, America, and the former USSA. Thanks very much for listening. Coming up next hour, we're going to bring Will on. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And welcome back, Will.
Welcome, Vinnie.
My somewhat fabulous... A somewhat fabulous producer and all my crew. Well, I say my crew, the crew for the show, the whoever, the dudes who make this show possible. Always like to give a big freaking warm shout out and whatnot, and very grateful because I wouldn't be able to do what I want to do without all of you guys. You know, and that's pretty nice feeling, quite frankly. Thanks, bro.
Well, thank you, and thanks to Mitch, and thanks to American Freedom Radio, and Adam, our board op, and Chris, our co-producer, and all the guys who help behind the scenes as much as on the scene of the crime, like yourself, Vinny.
Well, yeah, I'm suspiciously always on scene of the crime. Oh,
common factor.
Yeah. Well, see, you know, the thing is, Will, I mean, I really want to go out and ambush some scum again, you know, like just be very naughty in general.
It does give you a bit of a lease of life, doesn't it?
Yeah. Do one thing every day that scares you. And seriously, man, when we went up and ambushed Helen Clark, I was too scared to ambush Helen Clark. Right? I had to get you to do it. Because, no, seriously, man, she's very, very scary. She's got a bigger Adam's apple than I do. Unbelievable.
Vinny was scared the whole time. You're like pressuring me. You're like, you're going to do it. And I think we were enjoying some of their condiments and maybe a couple of glasses of wine to get the courage up. So thanks, Helen, for the wine.
Yeah. We splurged out on that, man. I thought that was really cool. You could show up to the meeting of several assorted scum and then drink their booze and eat their food and then ambush them with a camera.
Well, look, it was no drunken revelry or anything. It's just to take the nerves off of you know, being in the company of demons. So yeah.
That's what I will. You didn't like stagger up to Helen Clark and go, "Oh, Clark, I think that you're a globalist scumbag." But no, it wasn't like that.
It's all on video, guys. It's all on tape. Yeah. You can check it out on his YouTube channel. You can measure the breath alcohol.
Oh, man. Hey, well, that would be an interesting thing to find out. Whether or not these politicians are under the influence of drugs or alcohol or something along those lines. I mean, do they have to test negative or something when they get parliamentary induction, or do they have to test positive? I wonder, because some of these guys are seriously, they must be on crack. They're just out of their minds.
I think they have to test positive for Class A's, just to show they're capable of trafficking, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Most of our media hacks in this country, the truth be told, most of our top media guys and so-called journos and wannabe musicians, a lot of them, they're all on just hardcore, the Class A stuff.
Pretty much all of them, eh? And, you know, that's something about the obscenely wealthy kind of like revelers and partygoers and things of that nature. And I've met a few people who've hung out with these kind of cats. And they say, mate, they have the best drugs. And they have all kinds of drugs all over the place.
Sure, they've got all the connections and they've got the disposable income. Well, journos are known. Journos are known for being drunk and rowdy and hanging around all the celeb parties they're invited to. I mean, it's just it's an industry kind of spin-off, I suppose. I actually knew a particular journo in a British newspaper who had a few of those traits. But
oh yeah, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. I'm going to be taking off, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to go film my cousin's wedding, and Will will be taking the helm right here on American Freedom Radio at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
I am your host for the next hour, and in Vinny's absence, we will just be chewing the fat here, I suppose, for the next hour. No guest planned, just yours truly. And so here we go. You know, I thought instead of covering the news today, which is the same old, we would try and endeavour to kind of break down what we can do as individuals to take on the system around us that seems to be, you know, cornering people, not just financially, but psychologically, spiritually, and really kind of socially pigeonholing people like ourselves in a corner, you know, where we feel we have to lead double lives or keep things from people that may disagree with us, to the point where we're not being true to ourselves. No, and that's something I wanted to talk about. You know, how is it that you can have ideas that aren't in vogue, that aren't in popular mainstream discourse, and then still live a life in having to deal with people who do hold on to those so-called realities? Because it seems to bring about a lot of problems, doesn't it? It seems to bring out a lot of problems for anyone I know in the truth movement. I even hate that term, truth movement. Anyone I know who thinks outside the box, has different ideas on how they envision society, different ideas on how they feel people should relate to each other, anyone who has ideas that challenge the status quo is pretty much marginalized in our society. And yet, when you take people to the side, when you the most brainwashed person out there, when you get them by themselves, and you sit down and have a conversation with them, the majority of people aren't bad, aren't psychopathic killers, don't want our economy looted, don't want to be bankrupt, don't want their food and water poisoned explicitly. And I think to myself, okay, so if the majority of people are like this, the majority of people are, you know, as good intentioned as anyone in this movement, then why is it that we have popular beliefs that are so far apart from our reality? How is it that we're just 180 degrees separated from our friends, our neighbors, and our family? And, you know, it says to me, it's the media. You know, that's what at the end of the day, that's what I pin it down on. It's the method by which people are fed information and fed ideas, ideologies, and the way constraints are fixed around people. For instance, people will moan all day about beneficiaries taking money from the government, XYZ, people applying for government grants, he doesn't deserve that, she doesn't deserve this, the government's got to take more revenue in order to give more. The government's got to tax more. The government's got to sell off public assets. People talk all day about these things. People talk all day about how to move around the chairs on the table. But if you try and talk about the table itself, if you try and talk about the money that's been exchanged across the table, that is this global currency being set up, that is the centralized banking system we have with fiat currency, then all of a sudden, all these people who cared so much about that particular debate of who's getting what out of the system don't want to know anymore. They don't want to debate it anymore. And that's what I mean about how the media, they precondition people's debates, they precondition their ideas, they precondition the realms to which they're willing to even challenge their own thoughts. And it's a sad thing. It's the one problem in our world, really. It's at the root of every element of corruption, every element of injustice. You know, we have people on the show that have had their kids taken off them by CPS. We've got people who have a show here, you know, Christy from Truth the Girls, who has a show on this network, who hasn't seen her daughter in over 10 months. And you think to yourself, how can this happen to thousands of people left, right, and center across Britain, the United States, New Zealand? Well, it's because of this paradox I'm talking about. It's because of this disconnect between where some of us are trying to be in our understanding of the world and where a lot of people want to be in their ignorance of the world. And that's the reason why people have their kids taken off them. When people talk about, you know, once again, you sit down with anyone and they go, yeah, I'm all for transparency. Yeah, government needs to be accountable. Yeah, I'm all for open books. And so you ask them, where does our currency come from? Who's New Zealand indebted to? Who owns the Federal Reserve? And they're just, oh, well, you're on a conspiracy tangent now. We can't go there. Some things you just can't know. And so because we can't know them, we have to give the government the benefit of the doubt. We have to give the system the benefit of the doubt. It always tends that way. And when you give them the benefit of the doubt, that gives them the power to take people's children off them. That gives them the power to bankrupt our economy and sell off our public assets. And so in doing this radio show, if we're going to make any real changes, you know, we need to try and break down not just what's wrong in the world, but by the mechanism of how that comes to be. And the mechanism is ignorance, and then the reasons for ignorance are plentiful. It's a circular argument. People are often ignorant because they're enslaved. And they're enslaved because they're ignorant. They're ignorant because they're too busy working, because the fiat currency has, you know, devalued their purchasing power, because they're having to work more and more for less and less just to try and keep their wife and kids happy. And so they don't have time to look into the realms we do, and they don't see it as necessarily practically applicable to their daily life. Hence they say, how does that affect me? Or, I don't care. Me and Benny always go on about how often we hear, I just don't care. I don't want to know. I don't care. They'll debate to a degree, then you pin them down somewhere and they'll go, I just don't care. I just don't care. Life's good. You know, it's better than, you know, Algeria. You should be, or here's another great one we hear all the time. You should be thankful that you have the freedoms in this country to say what you want to say without going to prison. I need to be thankful for being able to say what I think. No, that is a right that everyone on this planet, regardless of who and what you are, is born with. Freedom of speech doesn't come from government. Good government should protect freedom of speech, but it doesn't come from government. It's like saying the grass comes from government and a beating heart comes from government. And freedom of speech didn't come from some phony war that a bunch of globalists happened to rig using one of their little occult offspring, Adolf Hitler. I mean, that's not the root of our freedoms either. That's another false dichotomy that people think, you know, I'm not devaluing the loss of life in World War II. I'm not devaluing any of the patriotic sacrifices that were made for people who truly did believe they were defending their countries. But World War I and World War II are scams, total manufactured events. You know, it was manufactured as the Gulf of Tonkin or the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh in 1953 in Iran. Or, you know, it just goes on and on. Or just however many dictators have been installed in South America over the decades. So what they do is, what the system, what the media does on behalf of the scum they work for, is they try and appeal to our innate senses and then spin it towards empowering their own system. So they try and appeal towards a man's aggression and soak up his aggression on things like, I don't know, building V8 Holdens and Chevs and, you know, wanting to be tough and play rugby and exhibit their tribal competition through supporting football teams and rugby teams and ice hockey teams. And this is how they do it. Because if they didn't have the All Blacks, and if they didn't have the Rugby World Cup, and if they didn't have the Soccer World Cup, then all this energy and the capability of all these largely men, largely young males, would have to go somewhere else. You know, there's a finite fixed amount of energy in the universe and hence in its inhabitants. And if you can't direct people's energy where you want it, it's going to go somewhere else, and it'll probably lead to you. And so if you were running the system and you wanted to keep people out of your face and you knew there were dangerous people out there who could threaten your establishment, then, well, it makes sense to look for novel ways to obscure them and to at the same time appeal to their innermost, you know, drives. So men want to fight each other. Men want to protect women. Men want to fight over women. Men want to, you know, defend a roost. If you can offer them a false family, like a football team, and a false support mechanism, and you can turn other people into sort of weak gang members of their own, then you keep them from disrupting your gang. And that's what the media is so great at doing, and that's what society as a whole is so great at doing, to the point where it doesn't need to be organized in a top-down manner. You know, the fact that we have Chelsea fans in England and Tottenham Hotspur fans and Manchester United fans. You know, Manchester United is probably the biggest sports team, at least a decade ago, on the planet in terms of merchandising and just overall revenue. Absolutely massive. You know, £40 million players. Ridiculous money. The only way you can build such an architecture without it being seen to be a conspiracy is by having people instilled, having the media instill certain ideas of competitive drives and urges and twisting people over decades. People always want to arrange themselves in groups. People always want to fight the guys over the hill. If you can do it in such a way that it appears to be grassroots and not non-centrally organized, then you try and tell people that sports is part of an active conspiracy to stop people from dissenting, and they'll laugh you out of the pub, because it just seems so organic. It seems like it's coming from just ordinary people, and it largely is, because they've been brainwashed. And so I think that's the beauty or the evilness of the system, is because it works so well without any direct Kissinger or Rockefeller or Brzezinski direct control. They don't have to run the sports and the media. They don't have to, because the whole plan, the whole New World Order plan, the whole idea of the externalization of their hierarchy is to turn all of us into people who think like them. That's the key. They want to convert us to their religion, but they start off with rationalism and logic and atheism. But slowly but surely, they want to convert us to their way of thinking. And that's why when you sit down with most people who aren't on the same line of thinking as the listeners of this show, you'll find that on 6 or 7 out of 10 benchmarks of what the elite stand for, they will stand for also. The world's overpopulated, being one of the most popular ones. People in the third world shouldn't have many kids. Straight out of State Memorandum 200. You know, all these benchmarks, climate change, the war on terror, although they've lost a bit of steam there, so many benchmarks of judgment, of discernment, are taken straight out of the elite's handbook and transposed into popular society, and their mechanism for doing this is the media. And so I agree with Vinny in saying, you know, when the media's not doing their job, we have to take them back. But I also say that when the politicians and the power instruments in the tier above the media aren't doing their job, we have to take them back too. We can't rely on the sleeping giant of people awakening in time to stop the architecture, because as it stands, the masses are empowering the elite to a far greater extent than they are empowering this movement. We can't kid ourselves there, because you don't have to be an activist to empower the elite. That's the problem. You have to do nothing. You just have to pay their bills, pay their taxes. Yes, sir. No, sir. How high shall I jump, sir? And that's all you need to do to satisfy the system. And we'll reward you. If you go to law school for 7 years and you work for one of our scumbag analyst Federal Reserve companies, we'll reward you. Big houses, nice cars. All the girls will like you. We'll reward you. This is life. That's living. All those activists out there wasting their time researching, they need to get a life. They're not living their lives. This is the sort of propaganda you hear. And it amazes me. You hear it just pillar to post. I can speak to people in Tunisia, listeners there, in England, family and friends there, co-producer there, in the United States, of course. It doesn't matter where you go. You get the same reactions and the same walls and the same dichotomies. And what that should tell you is that we're up against a global agenda here. It's nothing to do with cultural boundaries. It's nothing to do with New Zealand culture, the Australian culture, or as many people wrongly defy, the Americanization of the world. It's nothing to do with that. It's a global agenda based upon a pagan, esoteric religion. And it's coming out real fast. And some people are going to join their side. A lot of people are unwittingly already on their side. And then some people are going to be virulently against them, to the point where they may lose their lives. But anyway, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll carry this on the other side. And stay true to yourself. We'll be back in a minute. I want to jump it.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to go everywhere.
Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota,
we go everywhere on this show. Past the realms of popular thought. And into the murky depths of the X-Files now. But seriously, you know, we're talking conspiracy theories. We're talking epistemology, really, I suppose. We're talking discernment. You know, a lot of people would say, you just can't know. You just can't know what happened on 9/11. You just can't know what happened on the moon. Like, that really matters. But the point is, you have an overwhelming abundance of evidence on a subject like 9/11. Which, although doesn't prove conclusively how exactly it was undertaken, does show conclusively how it was not undertaken. And that's what, and that is really the difference between a lot of the so-called smart people with PhDs and philosophy degrees who don't believe in, you know, our so-called conspiracy theories. That's the difference between them and us. They want something that says, A, B, C, D, this is what happened on 9/11. Or this is who, these are the people who own the Federal Reserve. Until you can prove that, you can't have a problem with it. That's their form of logic. It's crazy. If you took their, if you extended that mainstream form of logic as they apply to world events to the courtroom in a murder trial, and you said, well, the police haven't got any hard data linking Mr. Tomlinson to this murder of such and such a woman on a particular date, because there's no video footage, there's no DNA evidence, there's no this, that, and the other. With circumstantial evidence alone, you can't indict this guy. It'll be totally ridiculous. It'll be totally ridiculous to any sort of investigator, any sort of legal process. What they do is they take abundance of evidence. They take, if there are hundreds of correlating pieces of circumstantial evidence, that still constitutes evidence. You wouldn't believe the amount of people who are sitting in prison for their entire lives based upon, you know, such little substance that the wildest conspiracy theorist wouldn't believe in it. And yet to an open court, to a so-called rational court, well, it's beyond reasonable doubt. You know, if the case of 9/11 were before a federal court, there is just absolutely no doubt in my mind, if they didn't rig the Masons behind the benches and their decision-making process, there's no doubt in my mind that the US government would be implicated. To what degree, I'm not sure. But there can be absolutely no doubt that they shepherded in these so-called terrorists, housed them in the Florida region, shepherded them through the Canadian border. Now, those documents are leaked years ago. And this is what it comes down to. People giving the establishment the benefit of the doubt at any point, at any stance. It's, if you can't prove conclusively 100% that the Federal Reserve is privately owned, then it's not privately owned. You can't give me a list of all the shareholders. Well, no, but we can say that that it's not an arm of Treasury. You know, we can clearly show in modern money mechanics how the Treasury Department purchases debt and then how they expand it at a rate of 9 to 1, and then how they collect interest on that. I mean, it's just, that's totally documented. Modern Money Mechanics is only sort of like 23 pages. Once again, people want to have these endless debates on the TV and radio and newspapers about, you know, a few thousand dollars here, a couple of million there, who stole what from certain coffers. And yeah, that may be wrong. Yeah, there may be some small injustices. But then the whole premise is based on a total fraud, and they can't question it, even though it takes 2 hours research. Their whole life is based, you know, they will go, money makes the world go round. Okay, so you tell me what it is then. Do you know the history of money? Do you know about money sticks in the 1600s? Do you know... No, they don't know anything. I just need to know what affects me here and now. Well, that's irrelevant. And once again, it's part of the conditioning. It's part of this religion. They've got everyone trained into being so vapid and so selfish and so insular and being scared of other people and hating different people and just being just blinkered to the degree where you follow orders. You know? The last census they had here in New Zealand. It gets sent to my address, has my name on it, has a barcode at the top. And then it says it's anonymous. Are you kidding me? And I'm a conspiracy theorist because I went and told people, look, it's obviously individualized because it has a barcode and has your name and address on it. Oh, no, they just take the information. It's not linked to individuals in any way. They just want the statistics. If you don't send it back, if everyone did that, we wouldn't have any nice statistics. I'm like, yeah, you don't even know the stats anyway. Otherwise, you'd know what the economy is doing. I'm all over the CIA World Factbook every day, you know. Why don't you have a look at that? Oh, Dick, we're just trying to get our statistics back for this government. It's a $600 fine if you don't return it. I'm like, well, you know, screw them. Screw them. I mean, the first part of it is... breakdown of ethnicity. And why do they need, what does that matter for a start? Or is that so they can break people up into groups and show that, oh, brown people, they're the scourge of this country? I mean, is that what they want? Some statistics to denigrate a specific group? Oh, no, so we can help, you know, Maori and Pacific Islanders in New Zealand. Oh, because we help them so much, because we give them GMOs and aspartame all day and get them fat on KFC. Oh, we're loving, we're helping them. We make KFC the cheapest food in the country so we can help poor people. And yet, some people, they realize all this is going on and they still just fall into this accidental view of things. They still just go into, you know, oh, this is just a one-off here and there. They can't put it all together. They say you put it all together means you believe in a grand anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. The truth of it is their minds can't handle putting it all together, and some of them probably aren't even capable. And that's not trying to sound holier than thou. That's just a fact. I mean, it's just, the whole system is so contrived. If anyone wants to look at it, you can just look at the approval process of aspartame by G.D. Searle in 1981, after Donald Rumsfeld got involved and Reagan helped change the directorship of the FDA. I mean, you can just look into that, how it was banned in 78, how it was then approved for dry goods over 32 degrees Fahrenheit in the early 90s, and then just started poisoning everyone. Because above a certain temperature, the methanol molecule detaches even easier. It's less stable. It's wood alcohol, can poison children in high enough concentrations, and they get a nice. it's just so evil. It's accidental, but it's accidentally so evil. Okay, it's just like how our prime minister can say, "No, we believe in life and liberty and freedoms as long as people don't incur on others." At the same time, they can pass a bill that allows, without any resource consent, Telecom and Vodafone to put up dangerous, non-ionizing, electromagnetic radiation-emitting cell phone towers outside anyone's house where there's an existing power pole or lamppost. No consultation. Outside schools, outside hospitals, outside retirement villages. They can just beam them to death. And EMR is not seen as an invasion of people's privacy. You know, I brought this up with a local doctor. He told me, oh, it's the same as the risk incurred by people getting in vehicles. I said, no, it's not. Because if I drive down the street, that doesn't mean I'm emitting something through the bodies of my neighbors. I'm not invading their space unless I were to drive through their lounge, at which point I'd be seen as a criminal. So why isn't John Key a criminal for allowing Telecom and Vodafone to bombard us with radiation? And why can't ordinary people work this out? Once again, it comes down to media, it comes down to education, and all these people just want more money for public education. You know, and all their education cutbacks. We want more propaganda. We want more state control. We want more state TV now in New Zealand they're calling for. They're going to cut back state TV. Good. Great. Couldn't be happier. And then we've got all these ninnying leftists who just want, I wish the government would take 100% of our wages and they could decide what toilet roll I have and they could regulate our TVs and everything. It'd just be beautiful. It'd be so equal. We'd have no war or fighting anymore, no greed and envy because we'd all be equal. You can't take the man out of humanity. You know what I mean? You can't take our drives out of us. And, you know, Zeitgeist might think you can, Peter Joseph might think you can, but the system, once again, the system knows they can't delete our drives. Not yet, not totally. They can suppress some of them with all their nice little drugs and all the fluoride and mercury, but they can't delete them. And so they have to suppress them and defer them. Get behind your favorite sports team. Get behind your favorite band. Go to their concerts. Be an activist of, you know, alcoholism. it's just anything. You know, fight over women. Fight your neighbor over, you know, looking the wrong way at your wife or something. Fight him over his dog crapping on your lawn. But don't mess with the government. Because if you mess with us, you'll always lose. But there's no conspiracy. You know, it's just an accidental disposition that we have so much power and we can lock you up and kick down your door and spy on you. And, you know, it's just an accident. We didn't mean to, sorry. And anyone who says it's on purpose, remember, they're nuts. They're crazy. I mean, for those who haven't, you need to look up Cass Sunstein, White House science czar, appointed under Barack Obama, his paper that he wrote back in 2008 for the Chicago Law School and Harvard University. And what it does is break down conspiracy theories in modern America and whinge about the millions of people who hold these beliefs and that they've got it all worked out because, you know, the basic premise is conspiracy theorists are a bunch of underachieving, anti-government social rejects who need to justify their own existence and feel important by citing fault in the establishment and blaming other people for their situation. That's where it's coming from. That's where, once again, as above, so below, that's where a lot of ordinary people are coming from too. And it's so pathetic. That's why I like seeing millionaires against the system, because it shatters half that paradigm anyway. And that's why you've got to be better than them. That's why you've got to be smarter than these people. By these people, I mean government officials, little wannabe bureaucrats, and then all the deniers around town, all the climate change activists, and all these people. You've got to know more than them. You've got to know their story. You've got to know their side. You've got to watch their bullcrap TV shows. You've got to know where their brains are coming from. And then you've got to know the reality too, and you've got to beat them in both hemispheres. You've got to beat them at their own game, and you've got to beat them in the real world too. Just going on a rant here today. I know some people might be interested. Hey, I went to one of my many excursions with police officers was a couple of years ago where I was arrested for taking a megaphone outside a police officer's home. And I'll cover this outside the break because it's quite interesting. Listen to the videos which showed guerrillamedia.co.nz is the other website. Catch you next night.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired.
All right, final segment now. Yeah. Final segment here on the Vinny Iswa Show with Will. I am Will, and you know we're talking about smashing our enemies, pretty much, in an information sense of the word. And, you know, I was talking about my little court case a couple of years ago for taking a megaphone and directing out of the police officer outside his house, about 5 kilometers from where I am now. And I did so on a public street, and I didn't threaten him, and other than to say he'd be run out of town. considered putting the video up, but I probably should now. All the proceedings are over with. A bit of a laugh. Some people might hate me for it, but anyway. And anyway, this officer just really was making life difficult. He was a POM. He was from the Met, the Metropolitan Mason Police over in London. And he'd found his home here in New Zealand and wanted to treat everyone as criminals. And anyway, he started hassling me. And then he went too far. He started hassling friends of mine purely on their connection to myself, taking vehicles off them and searching property. And in one case, invading their house. And so it wasn't good enough. And I complained to the police complaints authority, and in the end, they didn't want to do anything because this guy had already laid charges against me. And so, you know, I just took into my own hands a little bit, but completely peacefully. And I was arrested and dragged through 9 months of court. And on beating them without a lawyer, just by looking up the relevant sections of the law, the relevant acts myself, and trying to read their crap, I beat them in court anyway. And afterwards, outside, they were kind of getting funny with me, and I said, well, hey, I beat you at your own game, you know? And they said, what do you mean? It's not our own game. And I said, well, you believe in the system. You signed up to be an enforcer of this stuff. You know, you don't even want to know the difference between corporate law and natural law or canon law or anything, but you want to stand up for the system and judge everyone else. Well, prepare to have it dished back at you. Now, what gives you the right? Well, this uniform, you know, enshrines our rights and yada, 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 and all this pompous stuff. And I just said to them, well, hey, you know, I beat you on your territory. Imagine what's going to happen when we have to start living in the real world. You know, as arrogant as that sounds, that's the way we've got to take on, at all levels, these protectors, these ninnying fools, these jabbering idiots who want to stand up for the system and defend it. Because what they're doing is perpetuating the murder, the death, the injustice, all the evil, all the trappings that come with it. They're just empowering it. They're killers. And they're not killing from a point of protecting anything or from any, if there was any sort of moral justification whatsoever. They're just doing it out of ignorance because they think there's something in it for them. They think getting paid $60,000 or $80,000 to be a thug police officer, not a good one that used to be on the beat and tell old ladies the time and actually be active in their community, but just someone who wants to be a leech, somebody who wants to be a revenue-gathering, you know, piece of legislation, a walking piece of legislation. You know, they're not coming from a good place. And it is just the same as all the people who vote for these Barack Obamas and George Bushes and then defend them years later after all the crimes have been committed. You know, we don't have to tolerate them. When I hear people spewing this sort of crap, you know, I make sure to interject. And in a peaceful way, a lot of the time too, you've got to try and come across, you've got to be better than them though, that's my point. You've got to know the facts, you've got to know the law, you've got to download all their PDFs, you've got to read Edward Bernays' books on propaganda, you've got to read Morals and Dogma, you've got to read, you know, Tragedy and Hope, if you can. I haven't read the whole thing. You've just got to try and go the extra mile, and it's not just trying to have it up on your enemy. It's actually just trying to further ourselves, and that goes back to the point I was making at the top of the hour. Some of us actually realize that being human is about progressing ourselves and bettering ourselves as individuals, and the flock kind of coming up together. We're just integral parts in a flock, and we, you know, the tide rises for all of us. But then we've got a few guys drilling holes in ships, and they're trying to drown us right now. And anyone who's out there holding a drill for them is our enemy. And that's the only way. It's the only way you can put it. It's the only way I can see it, anyway. So we have to be better than them, and we have to help each other. And our new families, and by new families, I mean the circles in which we interact and influence and have mutual respect for one another. And that, and in such a way, we move outside the system at the same time as defeating the system, and we lift the standard of living, and we lift the standard of education and everything that comes with it. You know, people say, well, you know, if you had the levers of power, what would your policy be on youth? What would your policy be on unemployment? These aren't necessary. You know, a lot of the youth problems are symptoms of the aspartame and the fluoride and the mercury and the vapidness and the social pop culture, Lady Gaga media. You dissolve those problems overnight when you pull down that system. And when you get back to a system of reality and morality and family and networking and just a nuclear constituents of family and community, you dissolve those problems overnight. There's always going to be bad elements. There's never going to be a perfect world, but you know, that's how I see we work towards it. But it starts with our own minds and it starts with our own influence, and if we can take that back and we're powerful enough to do that, then the rest is easy. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. GorillaMedia.co.nz is Vinnie's news outlet. I am Will Ryan, and thanks for joining us Saturday in New Zealand, Friday in the United States. Enjoy your weekend, folks.